Because I could have so made that just me, but I was like, but what if she had elf ears and then I was slightly cooler than me? As I was streaming, I'd be like, oh, I really need this resource. And he would run up to me and not say a word and drop me like a stack of iron and then run away.
The order it came in was lover, host, Twitch partner, MCC Rising 2, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Right? That was the order of things.
I'm doing it backwards
for some bizarre reason.
So yes, there is footage of me biting into a raw onion on stream in 2022 when Bad was in my chat.
All right, lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down with an amazing guest every now and then. I think I finally mastered the intro. We'll see how it goes. But today I am joined with someone very, very cool. A lot shorter intro now as well, you see, even though I'm making it longer, but I keep explaining it. Anyways, I'm joined with Maddie Milkberry.
Oh my God, hello. I went to say hi chat, actually, and I was like, wait, no, I'm not live. It's like 10 o'clock at night.
Do you not stream at 10 o'clock at night? That's why I saw you live earlier, the other day at like 9 p.m.
I stream in Aussie time, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. So Europeans pretty much never see me.
That's really sad.
Unless they have a really good sleep schedule, which like no one does. So
I don't think that's a really good sleep schedule, because what, it's 10 p.m. for you now. So that would have been 3 hours ago. So that's... Okay, wait, actually, no, let's move that back even more. 4 o'clock would be 6 hours ago, which is like 5 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
not exactly
some people
a good
just
sleep
like
schedule per se.
No, some people wake up like super early if they're like actually like have a real job, which you know is not many Twitch viewers. So most of the time it's really weird. I started streaming at 4 p.m. because I wanted to like grab the Australians, but my chat is all just Americans that don't sleep.
True. Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Also, I guess the issue of being with having a real job is like I get up at 6 a.m. sometimes for work, depending on the shift I'm on, and I'll see like your live or someone else's live, but I can't exactly stop ping. So I don't want to be like, hi, how are you? And then like, oh, bye now, I'm going to work. Like, I've been here for 2 minutes.
Yeah, hi.
Stream.
I'm here. I'm leaving now. Bye. You're not interesting.
No, you are very interesting, I must say. But like,
oh, thank you.
I just don't want to be rude. You
thank
know?
You.
Like, I gotta go. So,
but, anyway, yes.
Speaking of interesting then, before we get into talking more about you and all that kind of jazz, I was glad to give the intro for you to introduce yourself. All I said was your name. I didn't really hype you up. I feel like I should have done a better hype job. I'm sorry. But who are you?
Oh, no, that's all good.
What do you do? And if you have a fun fact, either about yourself or in general, it's up to you for us today.
Oh my God, I feel like I have so many fun facts, but it's just like I've got the mind blank where I can't remember a single one of them. Okay, so my name is Maddie. I am from Sydney, Australia. I was born in the UK though, actually. Lived there when I was a kid. Yeah, I say yogurt. That's the only part of my accent that stayed. Everything else is Australian except that. I started off as just like a complete Minecraft streamer, but then in the last like year and a half or so, I want to say, I've pivoted to Minecraft as well as just like cozier games like Stardew Valley and that kind of stuff. Big Stardew guy. My fun fact, I feel like this is the most boring fun fact ever, but I can lick my elbow.
I don't really think that's a boring fun fact, but I am more curious as to how exactly that's possible and how you figured out that was possible.
I think I've always been a really competitive person, and I think when I was a kid, someone went, you can't lick your elbow, and I went, yes, I can, and I didn't know if I could, but I don't know if I, like, popped my shoulder out to prove it, but I can still lick my elbow.
Can't lick my elbow. I'm trying right now. I can't do it.
So yeah, no, it's my kind
of my elbow while sitting here on a podcast.
Oh, I've got a better fun fact. I don't know how much time I have allocated for fun facts.
No,
I had a legal name change as a baby.
Oh?
Yeah, so my full name is Madeline, spelt with 3 E's, so it's M-A-D-E-L-E-I-N-E, and my dad, originally, like, on my birth certificate when I was born, it was M-A-D-E-L-I-N-E, so it had 2 E's, and my dad wasn't sure if he liked it or not, so he sent out a group email, because, you know, it's before group chats, this is 2002, sent out a group email to his friends, like, polling them on which one was better, and they decided the one with 3 E's, so my name had to be changed. That's a better fun fact.
So did your dad decide your name fully then?
Well, no, mum and dad. Like, they both decided Madeline. I don't think my mum cared whether it had 2 or 3 E's.
Got you.
But my dad was really, like, locked in on it. He really wanted to make sure, you know, it was very specific.
So you just spawned in, you had this name, and, like, how many days later before it got officially changed?
I don't know how long it was, but I think I was less than a month old when it happened.
Do you want to know a fun fact about me being born?
Yeah, hit me.
I wasn't breathing for the first 5 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, the really, like, morbid one. But I'm here now.
It was like, what a start to the podcast. Awesome. Well, that's lovely. Glad you're breathing now.
I mean,
that's really cool.
I mean, I'm struggling a little bit because I'm not feeling too well, but I when I'm feeling fine, I breathe quite well. So that's a bit
upside. Oh, God. Okay. Well, glad you at times breathe fine.
Same with you, Maddie. Am I good to call you Maddie, by the way? Like, what do you prefer?
Oh, yeah. Milkberry or Maddie? Literally, I get morbid out if people call me Milkberry. Like, I really should have been one of those people that just made my username my actual name, but I didn't for some reason, even though no one calls me Milkberry. Like, even new chatters, I'm like, please call me Maddie.
You're kind of fortunate in a sense, though, and it kind of touches on my first question as well of how you got the name Milkberry. But you're quite fortunate in the sense of your name flows in a sense of, like, Joe Smallish Beans, Maddie Milkberry, Scott's Major, like you have one of those names like that flows really well. Was that like, how did the name Milkberry come to be?
It was it's such a dumb one because it actually, like, I wish it was something meaningful, but it's just been kind of a username I wanted to use that like wasn't my full name, because I was terrible. I used to just like use my complete legal name for like old social media accounts when I was a kid. They're not linked anymore, like you will not be able to find them, so whoever's listening, please don't try find my old social media accounts with my full name. But I've been using it since I was like pretty young for just like any username that wasn't my name, because this is like, it's so random. When I was a kid, I was getting read this storybook before bed, and it was about these bears and they were eating cereal, except it wasn't cereal because they were bears, it was berries in a bowl of milk, and that really stuck with like 4-year-old me. And whenever I went to go make a username that wasn't my name, I was like, that, except it didn't have two L's. Because my username now, Milkberry, is with two L's, because it with one L was taken on Twitch. But now I'm emotionally attached to it having two L's, even though like most people will spell it wrong.
Yeah, we had the issue for your guest announcement originally your guest announcement was with two L's, and because it's like your YouTube name, but then I wasn't sure which one to go with because your Twitter name has three L's. So I turned to Vera, who made the designs, and I went, okay, this one has two L's. I said, but I think we need to change it to three. But the issue is I didn't get a chance to ask you because it was extremely last minute. So I'm like, crap, it's meant to be three L's. I was like, can you change it? So she changed it to three, and I went, and I looked back and I was like, wait, but the YouTube is two L's and Twitch is two L's, but the Twitter's three L's. I don't what to go for, so I stuck with the three L's in the end.
Somehow there is someone with the Twitter handle with Milkberry with two L's, and the account has been inactive for like 10 years, and it only has I think two followers, and both of those people follow me and have probably stumbled across the wrong account. So it's so painful just seeing like someone has that out there. But I like, it's quite annoying. But the thing is, I've asked my chat like multiple times because I've got partnered on Twitch now, which makes it a little bit easier to change your username. Yeah. And I keep asking my chat, I'm like, oh, should I go to 1L? And everyone's like, ew, no.
No, 2 is, don't like, do that. 2 is your name now. Like, you've established that. There's no point changing it.
Yeah, I can't go back on it now. It's been too long. So I've just like subjected myself to misspellings for the rest of my life.
I never thought I'd understand the vibe of like wanting a username really badly, but I do. There's an account on Twitter that has the at inside MC with the name The Rumor, zero following, zero followers, private account from December 2010.
Oh, 2010.
I can't get that name, but I don't know why I said 2010, 2010. I can't get that name because like, so I'm Inside MC Studios now on Twitter, but I want Inside MC straight up, but I can't get it.
I get it.
But at least because they're a private account, no one's ever going to get confused and think it's like me, which is good, I guess.
I understand the pain though.
So the Milkberry kind of always resonated in your head. And then
I don't know why. The thing is, when I actually first started using this username, I didn't even like berries. I've always loved milk. Like I've actually like, it's not a bit.
Wait,
like
what when type I of milk? What type of milk?
Full cream.
Okay. All
right, whole milk.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Whenever I eat anything, that will be my accompanying drink. It doesn't matter what it is, like a dessert, like a roast chicken, like whatever. I will always have a glass of milk with it. I will take a glass of milk over like an alcoholic beverage. But I didn't like berries, and I like strawberries now. And I think I actually gaslit myself into liking them because it was like, oh, that's me. That's my username. I have to like them. I can't be the berry guy and not like berries.
Me, who doesn't really know anything about space or planets being called orbits, but you know.
It's fine. You just got to gaslight yourself into it and like learn all about it.
Exactly. Yeah, I know like Earth is round. That's a good start.
That's a great start.
That's a good start. What about the branding then? Because you've always, I remember, like, I wasn't stalking your Twitter, but of course research. I remember stumbling across a tweet, which I actually remember seeing at the time when you tweeted it, was like a video from you sitting on your bed from like very many years ago.
Oh my god, is that me saying I wanted to be like Zoella or something?
I think it might have been that clip. Yeah, it's still on your Twitter accounts. I stumbled across it.
Yeah,
when I was like,
yeah.
But was good. Like, so you've always shown your face online, at least for the most part. You've always been kind of like a face cam streamer. Is that where your brand come from? Because, or like, what kind of where your brand come from, right? Because your persona isn't really you. It's a, I don't want to guess this wrong, so I'm just gonna let you tell me, what is your persona?
it's funny because, like, I don't know, I kind of felt like the branding almost came to me in some sense. Like that video you're talking about, I think it's one I made on my bed in 2015 of me sitting there, and like, I wanted to be a YouTuber since I was a kid, so I got my friends to send me Q&A questions. Like, those weren't from any comment section. I was just, you know, like, manifesting.
We've all done it. I did a Q&A where, like, it's deleted now, but very back in the day where I just made up my own questions.
Yeah, yeah. So. But no, with my whole, like, stream persona, I guess, I don't know, I just kind of, like, went live one day. My favorite color has always been green, so I always had the Milkberry username, and the branding kind of started off as just green, and then I don't even know how pink got in there, because my whole thing is, like, my color scheme is pink and green, but, like, I don't even know how that happened. I think it was just a gradual thing, because people were like, oh, strawberries and green. But yeah, like, in terms of my, like, little persona, like, my profile picture and everything, she's honestly just, like, this whimsical, like, guy with elf ears, and that's just because I wanted to be special, because I could have so made that just me, but I was like, but what if she had elf ears and then I was slightly cooler than me? But other than that, like, the original, like, design I had for her was just, like, based off a Minecraft skin I found, like, on Skindex and used to use, and then, like, you know, once I was like, oh, I want to beat myself, I actually got someone to, like, kind of redesign it, and she's been tweaked a little bit over the years, but I think I've rebranded less than most other streamers, I'd say. I've had a pretty core design the whole way through.
I think with the whole design part that you just mentioned, that it's cool to be yourself and obviously base it on yourself. But I think a lot of streamers, especially nowadays, kind of realize, or like content creators in general, realize it's nice to have your own little switch on things. Like, for instance,
yeah,
like my old one before I became the Planet Heads, which I was originally just like a planet logo, but then I went to, like, I wanted like a persona logo, but I was like, I can't just be a guy. So I wore like the mask over my eyes with my logo on it, and then I got art drawn of me as a planet, which was amazing. Like, I kind of switched between that, but it was originally just me, but with like my custom mask on. It was the outfit I wear, everything, but I was wearing a mask. That's my own little switch on thing, so I wasn't just a person. So your little switch on thing, so you're not just a person, is the ears, the outfit, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because other than that, like, the character's pretty much me. Like, when people like draw it, it's meant to essentially just be me with like kind of little elf ears and in a different fit. And like, I kind of like, I don't know, a lot of people change their skins depending on what, like, you know, SMPs they're on as well. I just like to keep the same thing because it's super simple. I imagine it, like, is kind of like, you know, something some random elf girl in the woods would wear, so it works.
What about content creation? And you mentioned just then that, like, you've always wanted to be a YouTuber, but what specifically got you kind of into the content you do today? We'll pause on the variety section, because that's not the segment I want to talk about just yet. I do want to talk about it, just not now.
Mm-hmm.
What got you into the Minecraft content? Because unless you've privated old videos, your first video on the Milkberry channel was from August 2022, which was RL Crafts. Wait, I should probably fact check myself here. Yeah, RL
Crafts. No, you're right, you're right.
Two years ago, about to be 3 years ago. So what... was that your first ever video, or how'd that work?
Funnily enough, I do have some very old privated videos. The oldest one on my channel is Travel Vlog from 2016. It's still the same channel as well. It's into Minecraft specifically. Like, I always wanted to be like a YouTuber as a kid. Like, I was obsessed with, like, you know, 2014 type British YouTubers. Like, I was, yeah, as I said, like, I wanted to be Zoella, and like, I, like, my two kind of idols for content back then and even now are always like Dan and Phil. But they don't do gaming, and I honestly was never a kid who watched gaming or even like Minecraft videos, which I feel is so strange in this space, because like, everyone's like, oh, I remember watching this person's like videos back in the day, and I'm like, same. But I was one of those people that more so got into Minecraft in lockdown. And it's actually quite funny because that's when I first was like, streamers generally were brought to my attention during lockdown because I was always like, I want to be a YouTuber. And I didn't have a PC at the time at all. I was just using my MacBook Air. But my partner at the time, who I'm not with anymore, but he had a PC and he played Minecraft. And I was like, hey, you should stream Minecraft. And you could do the thing that those guys do. And so I convinced him to do that. And then he did it for a couple of months. And he was like, you should do it. So I got the most budget PC imaginable. And I actually used it up until late last year. So that's a whole other thing. Got the most budget PC imaginable just to try out streaming. And I kind of really fell in love with it. Like, I really love the community. And the other thing I discovered, which of course I wanted to be a YouTuber, I never considered this, is you don't have to edit, which is crazy great for someone with no attention span. I can just get on, go blah, 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 and then be like, okay, I'm done now. But yeah, I just kind of got into Minecraft through other people, really. Like, it wasn't something I was super drawn to. I think I'm more drawn to the community than the game itself. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the game, but I love it more when I'm playing with other people and other people are watching and hanging out.
Yeah, but my streams recently, I've always said this, I find it hard not to stream when I don't have an active chat. Not that I'm ungrateful for the people who lurk, but at the same time I just find it a lot easier when I'm talking to someone. You can tell by the podcast, I don't want to talk about myself too much, but I like to kind of just show how I relate to people, so it's just a good way of communication for me. So now recently I've just tried to collab with people, but that was kind of the vibes I got from you before you even said that, because you've been in a lot of SMPs, you've been in some other cool projects which we'll get into talking about, but is that what kind of drew you to the whole SMP streams as well, with the whole wanting to kind of collab or talk to people more?
It's actually really funny because when I first started streaming, I didn't make any streamer friends for I think the first year and a half, which sounds really sad. That's not that, I promise it wasn't really sad,
but so I was lonely.
I was so lonely. But my whole thing, and even now it's something I struggle with, is because I love SMPs so much, but when I go live, honestly my favorite thing is talking to my chat. So I always have this fear that if I join a server and I'm in calls with people on the server, I'm not going to be able to talk to chat. So it actually wasn't something that I was originally drawn to. The first SMP I ever joined was one of the seasons of Twitch SMP, and I only did it because a couple of my mods were applying and they were like, you should do this, I think you might have a good chance. And I was like, I don't know. And I applied on a whim and then I got in, and then I was like, oh wait, this is kind of fun. But yeah, that's as much as I love SMPs, I do need to find a balance, that I do sometimes let people know off live that hey, if I deafen and run away, it's not because I have it out for you. I just I'm a very chat oriented streamer.
Yeah, I mean, over time, I'm sure, sorry, that was such a dead jet. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm sure over time though, you've managed, especially over the last few years, to kind of balance between the two though, right? You're able to kind of at least get a bit of a better understanding of when to talk to chat, when to talk to someone else who's on the SMP.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is, the more creators you get to know over time, they also they get the vibes. Everyone kind of picks up on oh yeah, I can tell this person wants to talk to that chat for a bit, as if they want to run off to a corner. Everyone's really respectful as well. Everyone I know has been really great. But yeah, it's not too bad anymore, especially when I have people that are recurringly on my streams and they just kind of know how it works with me and everything. But yeah, I found it, not too bad. And I do love SMPs. It's so fun sharing communities, having people be in multiple chats, be on this stream earlier, I saw this happen and blah, blah, blah. And it's great when chat tells me what happened on the server, because obviously I'm Australian. I miss most of the stuff going on. So yeah, it's really fun.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but obviously you've been in a lot of SMPs. Again, the first one on your channel was RLCraft. I feel was Kabuildo SMP one of the bigger SMPs in regards to a turning point in your content, or am I just completely wrong in saying that?
No, I'd say so. I'm trying to think before KSMP, what I was really on other than, that first server I was on. But it was such a unique situation with KSMP because a lot of people weren't streaming it unless it was lore. So it was definitely a turning point for me, because I felt like I reached like so many new communities. Like, I never really connected with the side of the like MCYT viewer community that's like really interested in like lore and roleplay before, so that was awesome. And yeah, it's just crazy seeing like people, you know, like look at something you've created, like a character you've created, and have so much to say and like draw and just like, you know, theorize. It's awesome. But yeah, I'd say that was probably a turning point. I think that's when I started to take things a little more seriously as well. Like, oh, okay, people are actually like listening to these stories I have to tell and everything. So yeah, and I think after KSMP, like my name was out there a little bit more, so I found it a little easier to like actually, you know, make more friends and join other SMPs. So yeah, I'd say so.
What are some of your favorite SMPs that you've been in?
Okay,
you can either answer this as favorite SMPs you've been in or favorite SMP moments. Your choice.
Oh, okay. I'll do a moment and an SMP.
Okay.
So a moment is like one of my best friends in the world is Link, like Link OHQ, and we actually met on an SMP, and it was so funny because like if someone did this now I'd probably be like, oh, that's really weird, but like I was like a lot smaller of a creator and I was like, oh, that's cool. So pretty much what happened is I would be live, we were on the same server, I didn't know him at all, but his base was really close to mine, so I'd be live on the server and like as I was streaming I'd be like, oh, I really need this resource, and he would run up to me and not say a word and drop me like a stack of iron and then run away. And this went on for weeks, and then eventually we became friends. So that's like quite a funny moment. Like that is straight up how we became friends, and we still talk like every single day now, which is a bit silly. I guess another one is there was a point where I had a viewer SMP once, but it was an interesting one. It was called the Awesome SMP, and I actually shared it with a bunch of three other creators. It was, yeah, Linku, Jack, like Pyro, and another creator. And it was really fun. It was a viewer SMP, but essentially you were spawned in and then you had to choose which streamer you were to align with. There were a lot of silly moments from that, like a lot of community moments. We had like skin competitions, so that was one of my favorite moments as well. Just kind of like all of that community building. And then honestly, I think my favorite SMP I've been on to date, and I could be forgetting others, but it was pretty recent. It was ExposureCraft, which was so fun. Like it was such a light-hearted server, and one of my favorite things is they had a Herobrine mod which would pop up, like it would pick a player every I think like minute or two, it would give them a Herobrine jump scare, but of course it depended on how many players were online, and because I was streaming in Australian hours I would just spend my whole stream like shitting myself, like actually so scared of this, and it was really fun. Like the mods were so much fun. I got to talk to a lot of other creators that I hadn't really got the chance to before. So that was probably my favorite. I think just like heaps of funny moments and good stuff. But I've also really enjoyed The Line, which I'm on at the moment. But unfortunately, I fucking died and I'm a ghost now. So I'll enjoy it more when I'm alive again.
How did you die?
Oh, it was so sad. I was literally, the thing is, it's a hardcore SMP, so if you die, you die.
Yeah.
And I'm really bad at surviving. So, and I also, like, I don't want to be a bother to everyone, because I was constantly saying, like, hey guys, can we sleep? Can we sleep? Can we sleep? Whenever it was nighttime. And I felt so bad doing it that one night I didn't do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be productive. I'm going to use the nighttime to go around and light up my base to make sure that, you know, I don't need to sleep and everyone, like, doesn't have to sleep for me. So I got a bunch of torches, went around my base, a creeper exploded, I survived on heart of a heart, a skeleton shot me into another creeper which exploded and I died.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so it was a little traumatic.
I started a hardcore world yesterday. It's like my second ever stream of like hard, it's like second time starting a hardcore world. I didn't die in the other one, I just got bored of it.
Fair enough.
A new one.
Sometimes I'm kind of like waiting to die in my hardcore world because I'm like, I don't know what else to do here.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like just like chilling, blah blah blah, and I just hear this I turn around, I screamed so loud, and I put me down to half heart. I tried fighting an Enderman, but I covered myself with dirt blocks, and I didn't realize that Enderman
yes.
Pick up dirt blocks.
So no.
I'm gonna go blue, and it's like, you do know you've used dirt blocks, right? I'm like, yeah, and they're like, that, you know, this is not the best of ideas. And all I see is that the Enderman run up, pick up one of the blocks. I'm like, oh my god. So.
Oh no, that's not what you want.
Certainly for some good moments. Have you, I swear, like, sorry if I'm completely misremembering this, but haven't you been in a park creations project as well? Or no?
I have not.
Have you not? Oh.
No, I have not been in a power project. Unfortunately, it's just like they are at 5 a.m. for me.
But well, like, what about like so, one no, of the mini events? Have you ever been in? I swear I've seen you in like at least something related.
I'm in the Discord server for the mini events, but I haven't managed to join one.
See, that's the unfortunate thing. And that actually, funny enough, leads into my next question. Unless you obviously want to, did you want to mention anything more about SMPs?
I don't. Nothing off the top of my head. I probably come back to it in like another question later.
That's fine. I guess like my next thing then is how, okay, it's going to be such a weird question, and I've asked every single person who I've had on who lives in Australia the same question, and everyone's been
all right. I'm so excited.
So if you can't answer it, then it's your fault. All right.
Right. Yeah, sure.
If do you feel doesn't make sense. Do you feel, and if so, why, that being Australian has an effect on content creation? I think I've worded that right. Ooh. Does that make sense?
I got it. Okay. Don't worry, we're good. All right, so like, it's very interesting. First of all, people just generally have a reaction to like the Australian accent, which is really funny. Like, other creators are like, oh, you're one of the Australians, like we're like a shiny Pokemon or something, which is quite funny. So it's always, yeah, so I always find it like a really, like, because I, once I've actually know someone, I will talk for ages and ages, but I'm a little shy when I come to introducing myself. So I have so often at conventions just been like, ah, yeah, I'm jet lagged from the flight from Australia because I'm Australian. And then the person's like, whoa, and then that's my like into a conversation. Then of course, like, it's very interesting for like content creation itself because of time zones. that's the big one, and I'm sure like every other Aussie has brought this up, but time zones have such a big impact, which is quite unfortunate. It makes it very hard for me to play in a lot of events. And I don't blame the event organizers at all, because a vast majority of, like, you know, content creators are not from a time zone as inconvenient as ours. But it just means that a lot of the time I won't be like as enthused to join an event, because sometimes I just look at it and I'm like, do I want to play Minecraft at 5 a.m., you know, like 12 hours away from when I usually stream and where my audience is? And it's pretty tough. But I mean, other than that, the only other thing is like the ping. Which honestly is just a joke at this point. Like, it's quite funny. I've heard people who like run SMPs be like, yeah, no, we're really sorry about the ping. But the fact is that like, now there's a lot of us who are actually so used to playing on servers with ping, it feels really weird to play normal Minecraft. Because it's just like that aspect. And then
you've gotten so used to being like a hit behind or a crit behind or like a speed.
Yeah,
behind.
Exactly.
It's like, wait, and I'm, it's also great now.
Yeah, it's really weird. But it's also kind of cool because I suck at Minecraft and I now have an excuse for it in advance, because I'm like, oh guys, my ping was so bad, that's crazy, haha. And it was not the ping's fault. And yeah, I guess the only other thing that's like quite funny about being Australian is there's so much like Aussie solidarity. Like, people will come into my chat and be like, oh my god, I'm also Australian. Oh my god, this is crazy. There's Australian Minecraft streamers. And I'm like, yeah, there are. It's nuts. So that's kind of nice. There's a little sense of community. The Aussie Twitch community is super tight knit.
Yeah, unless I'm completely like misremembering this, I remember Zeus mentioning that like the Aussie like streaming community is decently big but like no one really knows about it too much, or like at least people aren't like too familiar with it. Like, it's even like, especially from like that side of the world, because I think I remember there was like a thing apparently back in the day about like Aussies being on the front page of Twitch for like some kind of day or something. And like everyone's, I can't remember the podcast word for word, sadly, but I just remember something along those lines, kind of similar to what you're saying now.
Yeah, it's just like, I think it's just because of the time zone, like especially for Europeans, I think we're quite hard to watch. It's tough, but yeah, we are so tight knit. Like, you go to a convention in Australia, like we don't have a TwitchCon or a VidCon or anything. Like, we have PAX, which we kind of just treat as our convention for everything. But you go there and it's crazy because everyone knows everyone. Like, even with all these people I've met through streaming around the world, I still somehow know more Australians just because it's so tight knit. Like, were you talking about Zeus then as well?
Yeah,
like, yeah, me and Zeus were hanging out so much at like PAX last year. Like, you just see everyone and everyone's like, oh, like, how's it going? Like, but especially within the Minecraft circles of Australian Twitch, it is just like, yeah. Everyone will know everyone somehow. There's like no more than like 2 degrees of separation from another creator at any point.
Do you want to like, quite a straightforward question, and it's kind of links into what, it's like a build on from this, because it depends on your answer, depends on my next question. Do you, mm-hmm. obviously you studied, you last year, sorry, you got your Bachelor of Science, right?
Yes.
do you do content full time? Like, now that you're done studying, is content a full time thing, or do you have a, like, quote unquote full job?
I am in the process of trying to make content full time. That's my big kind of goal for this year. I'm not there yet. Like, when I was studying and doing content, and, like, yes, I still have, like, income from content as well. So that was enough to support me while I was, like, putting in that extra time to studying. Like, the other thing is, Australia, a lot of people don't realize this. Sydney specifically, where I live, is one of the most, I believe it's the second most unaffordable city in the world, which is crazy. I think it's actually, like, above London. I think we're, yeah, just behind one other city at the moment. So I'm really working on that. I'm not currently full-time. It's weird because I kind of am, but I'm kind of not, because I'm still living at home. So if I were to, like, move out, I would not be able to go full-time. At the moment, I'm doing content pretty much every day, but I also have a job which I work, like, just one day a week, sometimes 2 days a week. So I'm kind of in that middle process right now. I never had a gap year after high school, so I'm kind of taking one after uni to see if I can make this work.
Yes, that kind of answers my build-on question, but we'll see. So you want to make content, like, despite having your bachelor's in science, you want to be a full-time content creator in the future. I mean, I know you said you've always wanted to be it since you were younger, but is that still, like, your main goal in life? Like, you want to do that? Well, like, not main goal, but one of your goals.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I really enjoyed studying and I really enjoyed doing my degree, but, like, my heart lies in content creation, really. I've been tempted to go and get, like, because my part-time job I have at the moment isn't even in science, it's in sales, actually. But I've been so tempted to go and, like, work in a lab, but I just don't think I would be able to deal with, you know, the lack of, like, social aspect to it. Because, you know, you're in the same white room every day with the same people in the same white coats, and I think that would drive me a little crazy. So as much as I love science, and I know there are career options out there that would be, like, kind of cool, nothing will really top content creation for me in terms of, like, a dream job.
And then my third build on from this, I just had to make sure I knew all the facts. Obviously, it's not just kind of your decision to make. It's, like, it'll be with, like, your partner, if it's still the same partner you have now, or a partner in the future, and obviously family, like, if you want to stray too far. If you do take content full time, would you consider moving away from Australia to, like, a more European or American-based country for time zone-wise? Or will you stay in Australia?
Honestly, I think I would stay in Australia. Like, I wouldn't move for content. The only reason I could see myself moving back to the UK is for family, like, when my grandparents get older. Because the Twitch is, like, such a huge part of content creation for me. Obviously, it's the one the thing I sink the most of my time into. But at the same time, I'm also focusing on YouTube. And this year in particular, I've been focusing on, like, a whole lot of short form, which is going quite well. And those are less time zone dependent. And I've got an audience in my time zone. Like, I wouldn't want to leave my, like, my little Aussies that that have no one else to watch, you know, during that, like, afternoon evening period when all the other creators are asleep or winding down to go to bed. So I do really love it here. If I had the money to move, I would probably just use that on traveling more often. Like, you know, like, going to pretty much every con I could, like, staying in the UK for, like, a couple weeks, a couple times a year. But I don't think I would move for content. As inconvenient as it is with the time zones, and, you know, every Aussie loves to complain, we still do really enjoy it here. But if I were to move, yeah, maybe I'd move to the UK for family.
That's fair. I like that answer. I just wanted to see if that's, like, what you do. I think you're the first, like, Australian or Aussie person I've asked like that question, because, I mean, like, I know Zeus lived in America for a while, but then went back to Australia. I never got to ask Pyrosyfe. Maybe I did. I can't fully remember, but yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I like the answer.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad.
you mentioned there as well, like, conventions and all that kind of jazz. You are, like, constantly going to the Twitch cons. I mean, I think for the last 3 years you've been both to the European and American one. And I don't know how weird this question is going to sound, or, like, how basic this is going to sound, but how do you manage to go to both conventions every single year? Like, I guess, like, time-wise in regards to studies, but also, like, financially-wise. You don't really have to answer the second part. It's more so the first part.
No, it's all good. Like, honestly, it's because I will save up money specifically just to go to conventions. Like, I will buy less and and go out less at home. I also like, I don't know if it's the same in the UK. I imagine it is, but like alcohol is insanely expensive. Yeah. I don't really drink much. So just by not going out drinking, I save a whole bunch of money towards like convention funds and everything. And like, it's really sweet. Like my chat helps out a lot because, you know it's a long distance and obviously a financial stretch for me to like go to multiple conventions. So I'll like bring it up and be like, I'm probably not going to go to this one this year. And then they all kind of rally together to like help sub and everything, which is really kind. And I am very lucky that my family really believes that like young people should travel. So they do help me out financially a little bit when it comes to traveling to conventions as well, is really nice. Yeah. Because I'm always like, oh, like I don't know, like I don't want to spend all my money. And like, you know, my mom and dad will be like, you know, you should experience your 20s. You know, you're living at home, you save money living at home, go traveling instead. And I'm like, okay, if you say so, guess I have to. I do get like pretty exhausted after conventions. Like in terms of the flight time, it's funny, but I'm used to it because I've always bounced between like Australia and the UK my whole life. Like I've been doing those flights since I was a baby because my mum's Aussie and my dad's from the UK. So my family's split in two, really. I'm used to the flight time. Like the flight isn't the hard part of going to a con. The time zones are pretty rough, like the jet lag's all right. But then I swear, the worst part of it, the hardest part for me, other than of course the finances, is I come back and then I get sick like every time. But other than that, I like, it's a little exhausting, yes, but it's just, you know, the novelty of being able to see friends that live so far away and being able to see community members that I wouldn't be able to see otherwise. It just really motivates me to save and like do everything I can to make it to those conventions.
Yeah, see, I've come to realize that maybe I'm not as good at saving as I want to, because I'd love to go to America, but then like I guess I look at like tickets are like $100, flights are like £800, hotels like £400. I don't exactly just like have a grand just sitting around for travel. And I guess that's also because, like, I don't know, I'd love to go, but also like I joint save with my partner, so at the same time it's like, you know, like I have the savings, but it's not exactly fully my savings. And as much as you wouldn't mind, it's kind of just that like inner feeling I have, like, do I really want to?
Yeah, fair enough. It's just, yeah, it's just like a decision you have to make with yourself, like how much do I value this money versus going somewhere else. And at the moment for me, I've been valuing traveling, which, yeah, I'm probably gonna have to cut back on soon, especially if I want to go full-time. Like I'm gonna need all the savings I can get in terms of like moving out and stuff. As I said, it's very expensive in Australia, so we'll see. But for now, I'm at least this year I'll be at both TwitchCons. Hopefully it won't be the last time, but who knows.
I'll get to meet you in Europe again. I can scream your name like I did last year. Oh my god,
let's
year,
go.
You might know who I am, because obviously last year I understand why you didn't know who I am, but you might remember me this
I didn't know your face. I saw your badge and I was like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm completely understandable why you didn't know me, but I'm saying hopefully you might know, remember what I look like this year. So we'll see.
I do love that TwitchCon gives people username badges, because, oh my God, I went to VidCon once and it was such a struggle. It's so rough.
I love the badges as well. They're like just nice to hold on to, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I have every badge from every convention I've been to pinned onto a wall in my room.
I have like one way I can hang them up, but because I've been showing them off like lately, as in like just showing the cool stuff I have on stream, they're just sitting on like my shelf behind me now.
Yeah, it's just a nice collection.
You were, I don't know if you can talk about this, so if you can't, I'll cut it out. You were a backup for MCC Twitch Rivals Europe, right? Or no?
Yes, I think I can talk about that.
I think you can.
How did you know that? That's if you know that, I probably can, because it's been said somewhere. Did I say
it? I'm Mr. Insider. No, okay. I just think it's word of mouth. Word of mouth happens. Like, people hear stuff and stuff. And
I'm going to assume I can say it. Avondale, please don't hate me.
I can't see why it'd be a bad thing. Like, because, like, you just mentioned how you were just, like, a backup sub. You didn't exactly... People would have known about it. People would have known
that's
you were a backup
sub. So. No, we did get to sign, like, the stuff backstage for, like, the giveaways. So I think it's pretty obvious that the subs were standing back there.
There you go. Yeah, see. So, but that only came about because you had a pretty big 2023. I'm not sure if it's, like, if you'd want to classify as your biggest year. Obviously, that's... down to opinion, but based on my research and Roman's research, found a lot of stuff that happened in 2023. The one thing I'm talking really out of order here, but the first thing I want to talk about is MCC Rising 2.
Of course. Yeah, that was, God, 2023 definitely was a year. That, I think, is the one that I still am like, oh my God, how did that happen? Because just like the effects of on not only my content, but on my friendships today and like the people I know has been like incredible. That's probably, yeah, I'd say the biggest thing to happen to me. Actually, I got 2023 was random because I did that. The big three where I did that. Got Twitch partner and I was on a level host, which is like
that
people forget
I
that
have to talk about, by the way. I just
oh perfect.
The order it came in was level host, Twitch partner, MCC Rising 2, if I'm correct.
Yes,
right? That was the order of things.
That
I'm just,
is the
I'm
order
doing
it went
backwards
in.
For some bizarre reason.
Yeah, no, it's really funny actually, because this, well, it's not funny, it's actually really sad. I almost quit content at the start of 2023 as well, because I was just like, my viewers went like downhill, like analytics wise, which I know isn't like something you should really focus on, but it had just been like I got viewbotted really badly in 2022, and I applied for partner and I was told I was viewbotting, which I had no idea. So it was kind of like seeing my viewers jump from that to something smaller, which like someone, I don't know if they were trying to help me by viewbotting me or like what was going on, but it was just a pretty like tough time, because I like, you know, I had a very different view compared to what was actually going on. So 2023, I was like, yeah, I just really wasn't feeling it. But then, yeah, the first thing was that level host. And I was in a relationship at the time, which was quite funny. I think I was the only person who hosted out of everyone. And I made it decently far through. And that kind of, I think, got me the like exposure and that push to like keep going. And then, yeah, that was when I got Twitch partner, which is a couple days before my birthday. And then, yeah, like I was already just kind of like riding the high. I was so excited. And then while I was overseas, actually, like for TwitchCon Europe, like I'd met a bunch of people. I was like feeling so motivated for content. I was like rooming with Jack in London as well. Cause you know, hotels are expensive. That's when the like kind of MCC Rising announcement came out that they were going to do it again. And like, oh my God, the excitement we had, like trying to come up with a team and everything. It was just like, it was unmatched. Like the hype of MCC was probably some of the most fun I've ever had streaming. Like it was also quite a stressful time for me because I was worried about letting out the team and I had some other things going on, but God, the like rallying of the community and like, you know, my training streams, because I really suck at Minecraft. Like I'm not one of those people that's like, oh my God, I'm so bad, and then is actually like half decent. Like no, I'm genuinely just bad. So like people would watch my training streams and rally for me to make the like easiest jump ever in like parkour, and everyone would be celebrating after I did. Like it was super fun. Like yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was wonderful.
You applied with Pyro, Linku, and I always pronounce it wrong. Sinahe? I feel like I always say that wrong. I'm so sorry.
Sinahe. Yes.
I just always pronounce the name wrong. It's so sad. All right, you applied with them three.
Yes.
How did that team come to be?
Well, it was funny, actually, because like me, Jack, Pyro, and Link had, like we've always been buddies, like, you know, we've always kind of like been a group of three. It was actually me and Link who were friends first, and then we adopted Jack kind of, but yeah, because it was just after TwitchCon Europe, me and Jack had just been spending so much time with Cena, because it was literally like a week later, and we were just like, oh my God, that would be perfect. And we thought about it, we were like, that team would be like really fun, like perfect vibes, like we all bring something different to the table, you know, it would be a really funny bit, like, you know, we're all Australian, Cena isn't. And yeah, like that whole application, it was done while Jack and I were overseas. I remember I was staying with my grandparents in Cornwall and I was recording my voice lines on like an iPhone microphone to get the application edited. So it's just a team that kind of came to be from vibes, and also yeah, the time frame, like us being around Cena so much, and it worked out perfectly. Like I would never change that team for the world. It was so great, even though Link lost us sands of time. We actually got Bumpy Jake to edit it, our good friend. I don't know if you're familiar with Jake. I feel like everyone is.
I know Jake. Jake's been on the podcast as well.
Oh, okay, perfect. I was gonna say it would be really awkward if I was like Jake and you were like who?
And who's that guy?
Yeah, no. Yeah, because what happened is I wrote most of the script. Like, the way it went, like, literally, I was telling my grandparents, and it's so hard to explain to grandparents that I'm like, yeah, so I go live on the internet and people watch and give me money sometimes. So it was even weirder trying to explain that, like, I'm auditioning for, like, a game show. Yeah. So I'd be staying there, and, like, I pull up my laptop and I would just, like, type up a script. I think pretty much I wrote an intro and then I was like, I left little blank spots for, like, you guys fill in what you want to say here, and then send it out to everyone, recorded it, and we were just like, who on earth is gonna be able to edit this? Because I don't think Link's PC was working. I think it was something I was seen as well. And then obviously Jack and I were both overseas. And we'd been with Jake at TwitchCon as well. So it was kind of like thanks to TwitchCon that everything kind of fell into place. So yeah, it was Jake who edited it. And he was on such a time crunch, but he did so well. We love Bumpy Jake in this house. We still owe him everything for that. But yeah, Jake ended up editing it.
Pretty sure he made a tweet last year or something for MCC Rising 3 saying about, like, not editing people's applications or something. I think I might have heard it wrong. Maybe someone else did it. I don't know.
No, he was opening though. He had commissions open for editing applications.
It. Oh, okay. I got it wrong. Yeah. Around. Oh, so I thought it said that he wasn't doing it. Okay, yeah, wrong way around. Got you. Yeah, so, I mean, he carried you guys. Well, he didn't carry you, but he carried... Well, yeah, he did. He carried the application.
Oh, he did carry. Absolutely carried the application.
So. And then you got in, and then yeah, that must have been, like, absolutely crazy, though. Like, getting in, getting a chance to play. Doing
it was so unexpected.
Well.
Oh, we did pretty bad. We came 8th out of 10. Look,
you didn't finish 10th. That's decently well in my books.
That's true. We had really good vibes, though. Like, I think we actually started having a better time once we realized we were doing shit. So we were like, okay, there's no saving this. We may as well just have fun with it. Like, we have some ridiculous moments. Like, we were also such a PvP weak team, because obviously Link and Jack were the two people who were, like, kind of the better ones at PvP, but of course they've got Pig as well. So, like, it's kind of game over for us before it even started. But somehow our best game was Battlebox, because at that point we just said, fuck it, like, we're losing. Let's rush everyone. That would be really funny. And it ended up being our best game. And I think we stopped Pink from getting into Dodgebolt with that.
What team was Pink again? That was...
It was, like, Akko, Gracie, Olive, and Oppo.
Oh, yeah, it was literally between them and, like, the Lime Llamas to make finale. I remember that they were, like, the final fight in Battlebox, and that was, like, the decider. Absolutely.
Yeah, miserable. It was so funny.
Crazy.
So, yeah, we screwed them over, which is beautiful. Now. Oh, I know. I'm going to get, like, I don't want to think about that. Cannot think about that.
We're getting old.
I know, I'm turning 23 this year.
Oh my god, I turned 22 in May.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's really hard being 22.
Is it? I finally get to tweet the Taylor Swift song.
I did not tweet the Taylor Swift song. I'm not a Swiftie.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Neither am I.
Yeah.
No, I am a Swiftie. Swiftie fans, make sure to like and subscribe. We're both Swifties. Go follow, watch all our streams.
Yeah,
Maddie
totally.
Milbury, biggest Swiftie fan ever.
that's me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was gonna say, oh yeah, so obviously, yeah, same year, kind of backtracking to the start of the year, you were on I'm gonna just stick with it, screw it. Foolish's Love or Host. Do you have anything to say about that in general before I ask any questions, just in case you answer them before I ask them?
It was just such a bizarre experience because, like, honestly, the year before I'd auditioned for Tommy and It's Love or Host, which I don't think many people know now, but I got through to the first round. Like, I think I was through to, like, multiple rounds of auditions and I didn't get it in the end.
Oh, no.
So, like, I was like, oh, that was a weird arc. And then, like, this one opened up again. And I was like, oh my God, it would be really funny. And yeah, like, my partner at the time, who I'm not with anymore, but he was so supportive of it. I was like, oh, you sure I can do this? And he thought it was the funniest thing ever. So yeah, I completely did not expect to get it at all, just because, especially at the time, I did not know, like, anything about Foolish either. I was just kind of like, this would be really funny. And then I ended up getting it. And I feel like one of the funniest things now is that I'm really good friends with Moo, who's his sister. Like, Moo's my homie, and, like, sometimes when I'm talking to Moo, I'm like, oh yeah, I was on your brother's Love or Host one time. That's really weird. And then, like, move on with it.
Friendly reminder, by the way.
Yeah, But yeah, like the people on there, it was actually a really wholesome level host. Like I remember I had a bunch of friends in like a Discord call while it was on, like getting ready to put out fires. Cause you know, sometimes like Minecraft fan bases can be a little abnormal. So, you know, like I was worried that like people would be like, oh, she's so cringe. Like, oh my God, shut up. Like, you know, just like nitpicking at anything. But it was actually super chill. Like the community was great. It was really fun. I had a great time on level host.
I was a little bit confused by the ending. Maybe I just didn't like pay full attention to the video, so apologies for that. But when you got eliminated, the big reveal was absolutely crazy, by the way. I'm a little bit confused as to like why it was so crazy. Like it seemed cold, but like what was so big about that reveal? Like maybe I just missed the concept of Lover Host. I never really watched one before as the thing. So I know because you got eliminated, right? But it was like this big shock factor that you didn't decide love, but why was it such a big shock factor?
It was a big shock factor because I went on there like and I wasn't single. Like I actually was already in a relationship like when I was on there, and like I kept, you know, you're obviously talking about theoretical dates, what you like in the person. Like I was so acting like, you know, it was also on Valentine's Day, so I had to give up Valentine's Day plans for it and everything. Like it was just the reveal that I was in fact in a relationship, and yeah, I was the only hoster that I think made it so like funny.
And you nearly won it as well. Like you, not nearly, but you did get down to like the final, like what, six, I think? Final seven?
Yeah, which is a good achievement. I did better than I thought I would.
Nearly a few times.
Oh my God, I was always in the bottom. I was always in the bottom. I had beef. I think who did I have beef? I can't remember who kept putting me in the bottom, but like it was rough out there. But yeah, like I wouldn't have wanted it to go any other way because it was so funny in the end.
And at least, you know, foolish. Well, I don't think they did, based on knowledge at least. But they did at the in the very moment choose someone who chose love. So at least there was the potential.
It's because everyone else chose love except me. I was the only hoster on that show, which is very funny.
If you'd won though.
Oh, I know. I would have been perfect. Cinema.
And then, after that, you ended up getting Twitch partner legitimately.
Yes. Like, that was quite cool. Very stressful, but quite cool.
What, I guess, like, for someone who's, and this is a question I feel like I should ask more on the streams, on podcast, sorry, but I'm asking it to you. What is something that you kind of did to shift from being a quote unquote smaller streamer to reaching partner numbers and getting a partner? Was there anything in specific? Did a special moment happen? Did you just shift your plan? Like, what happened?
Honestly, like, as like crappy as this sounds, I think a lot of it is down to luck and algorithms. Like, I think there are streamers out there that are absolutely incredible. The algorithm just hasn't picked up on yet. I was just in a lucky position where I was usually doing quite well in the algorithm. And I think Love or Host did give me that little boost as well. But my tip for like any streamer, like I don't know if this is a tip kind of question because it's, you know, you're talking about like the mindset shift. But like, I think what helped me get partner viewers and like retain them was just like, as I said at the start of the podcast, I'm just such a talk to chat kind of person. Like I feel like the, you know, the more I focus on chat, the like better my like analytics are in the end. So I think like once I realized I had something going there, I just really locked in on talking to chat. I also got partner at the same time as I was running that like viewer SMP. So I think just community rallying is a big part of doing something like that and reaching that.
It certainly helps at least.
Yeah.
On the guest announcement tweet, and we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier on the podcast, I mentioned how as much as you started off as a Minecraft content creator, as of the last few months you have very much broadened your horizons. You now do like a lot of your most recent videos on YouTube from when you did upload. Sorry.
I literally have a video coming out in like a week.
So it's funny because this podcast is coming out after the week, so when I go when you did upload, people are gonna be like, but she uploaded like 3 days ago, what are you on about?
This will be really funny then if the video is actually late and like this whole conversation's in there and my video still isn't out.
But don't that'll be great video in case it is delayed.
My chat knows what I record all my videos like live, so.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, what is it then?
Yeah. So essentially like the big pivot I've made, yeah, is like to Stardew Valley content, which is funny because it's like I probably enjoy playing Stardew more than I enjoy playing Minecraft just as a game. So it was kind of a natural pivot after a while. I just realized that Minecraft YouTube wasn't really working out for me. It's a lot more saturated with creators than Stardew is, and like, you know, I really enjoy the vibes of it. But yeah, the video I've got coming out, so I play all these mod videos where people go through and like change the story, add new characters, all that kind of stuff. stuff. The one I'm playing through in my next video, which is I'm actually pretty excited for it. I think it's very funny because usually the ones are focused, I've uploaded so far, are focused on like romance characters because that's such a huge part of Stardew. But this time it's more so about the pre-existing characters, and it's sending some of the corrupt ones to jail. Like someone has made a mod that just puts a prison in Stardew Valley and introduces new like NPCs that are cops, and you send some people to jail, which is pretty fun. But yeah, no, I've loved Stardew. I actually, funnily enough, like with my transition from, on YouTube at least, to Stardew content, I got a lot of help from a friend of mine, Nino Keto, like probably not a name like said on the podcast because this is very Minecraft based, but he's like a Stardew Valley YouTuber from New Zealand, and like he used to come in my chat a lot. Well, he still does. I say used to, like he like died or something. He was in my chat when I was just doing Minecraft and I talked about maybe doing Stardew YouTube, and he sent me like a 10-page PDF on like what I should do pretty much, which was crazy. So since then I've been really enjoying it. I found more success on YouTube with Stardew than Minecraft as well. But when I stream, I still like to do both because like that's my roots.
You've also tried the Hello Kitty, the new Hello Kitty game as well, right? You streamed that for a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so I've just been like, because I'm already doing Minecraft and Stardew on Twitch, I'm like, I may as well just try and do like general like cozy games. So believe it or not, as a streamer who wears cat ears on her headphones, I'm not actually into Sanrio. Shocker. But yeah, so this Hello Kitty game is actually so fun because I was a huge Animal Crossing person. So kind of feels like Animal Crossing meets Zelda, funnily enough, just with the aesthetics of like Hello Kitty. So that's been fun. But yeah, I did like an Instagram reel on that, tried it out. But yeah, mainly sticking to cozy games on Twitch, and then from pretty much every other platform, just Stardew.
How would you say your, I guess like Stardew Valley, I'm not saying it's extremely the same, but it's not extremely different from Minecraft in a sense of like, there's still like the kind of same idea around it. How has it been kind of moving your Minecraft audience over to the Stardew Valley audience? Have you noticed anything, a difference or anything, or?
Honestly, I was a lot more worried before I did it that there wouldn't be any overlap. But I think Stardew and Minecraft are both such popular, like, accessible games that there's a lot of crossover in terms of people that will want to watch both. And especially because I kind of cultivate my community less around gameplay and more around like conversation and hanging out. They don't mind when I play like a different game. Just because like, you know, we're going to be yapping the same stuff at the end of the day. There'll just be something else going on in the background. But yeah, and a lot of Minecraft players still really love Stardew. I think the difference in the game, obviously everything, but the thing I really like falling back on Stardew for is just like guidance, because sometimes you've played so much Minecraft and it's like, what do I do? Whereas Stardew, there's like a plot line to follow. There's all these quests that are essentially like, how did you like do all of this? So it's quite relaxing as well. And the community is really lovely. Yeah, it's not been too big of an issue with Minecraft and Stardew and not having an overlap.
And you still like, and the good thing about that as well is, sorry, that you like, you've moved your content away to something that you enjoy a little bit more and you're more satisfied and the audience enjoys it as well.
Yeah, 100%. Very glad to have like my core Minecraft audience still with me, and my core Stardew audience as well. Like, it's super cool. Definitely on like, you know, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, it's pretty Stardew heavy, but on Twitch, everyone's just there to vibe, so I don't really mind what I'm playing. People are happy to see Minecraft, they're happy to see Stardew, they're happy to see Hello Kitty, I guess. But yeah, it's a really nice vibe. It's a really scary change to make, switching up your content and like, you know, what you're playing. But I found it so rewarding in the end to have a little bit more variety in there.
It's a big worry for people with the whole kind of moving away from the content they enjoy. And even I've noticed that point where, like, I'll stream a different game and I'll get like 3 people watching. I'm just like, but you guys normally watch me because you like my vibe. Maybe it's just coincidence you're not here today. But like at the same time, it's like, oh, you can feel it.
It is
the difference in the air.
Yeah, especially at first, it's tricky. But after you like stay consistent with it, like hopefully it picks up again. But yeah, I still get nervous every time I stream a new game. Like that Hello Kitty game, I was so scared to play. But the other thing I found is like, I'm trying to focus less on like Twitch analytics because I'm trying to work on stuff like, yeah, YouTube and short form as well. So I'm almost just taking Twitch and let it like be a little more chill for me than like super crazy, like must focus on numbers as well, which has been quite nice. So it's not too bad with playing different games.
With that then, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about this podcast that you thought I might bring up, or have we done a good job of covering everything?
I think everything's been pretty covered. Like, you've done your research.
Big thanks to Roman as well, they help out.
Sorry?
Big thanks to Roman as well, she helps out, so.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for stalking my Twitter, I'm so sorry. There's interesting stuff on there.
I've been following you for a while. I'm a big fan. A lot of this was just natural knowledge, okay?
I'm so honored.
However, we're not over just yet.
Okay, cool. Maddie,
because we have Twitter questions.
Yeah, I'm still ready to yap. Oh my god, Twitter questions!
Okay, so we have one here from Maddie Milkberry, saying they're very excited. So.
They're a big fan.
That's you!
Oh my god! What? Self-love!
The first one comes from Emily Cupcake Gaming. Do you actually like strawberry milk? We gotta know.
I think it's mid. My favorite is chocolate milk followed by vanilla. If you put those three milks in front of me, strawberry would be the last one I pick, but I do like them separate of each other. Like milk generally, as I've already talked about this. Milk, huge fan. Strawberries, recent huge fan. Literally had strawberries today and milk today. So there you go.
Do you like milkshakes?
I love milkshakes.
Have you ever dipped chips in milkshake?
I have. I actually used to dip chicken nuggets in milkshakes just to be a little bit different, but it actually is really tasty.
Have you ever dipped anything in milk? Do you have milk with everything?
Like cookies. I've dipped cookies. I've never actually dipped just something that shouldn't be in milk.
What do you have for dinner tomorrow? Do you know?
I have no idea. Possibly refrigerated Thai food.
I'll
have it with a glass of milk. So I guess it's technically being dipped in the milk, like in my mouth, which is kind of gross, but like, yeah.
If it works, it works, right?
close enough.
Exactly. The next one comes from Yoss. How did you balance school, streaming, and other stuff? This doesn't fall under the other two. So basically, just have you balanced everything, essentially, is what they're asking.
It is, it did get very tricky at points, I can't lie. Unfortunately, it's just something you have to kind of look at and be like, how much do I value all of these things? Because I started streaming in 2021, which same year I started university. And at that point I was doing I just started streaming, I wasn't super consistent. I used to do, I think, 2 days on stream and then 1 day off. And I'd only stream for 2 hours max. Whereas now I do I only take a rest day if I feel like I need it, and I stream for usually around 3 hours. But back then, yeah, I was doing a full-time study load. I had a part-time job as well and streaming. Once I started to take things seriously, I guess you just got to figure out your priorities, because I actually I went semi part-time with uni and quit my other job just so I could focus on content. And luckily for me, a lot of my socializing did come through content as well, because at that point, a lot of my friends were people I'd met online. So that wasn't as hard to balance, because, a lot of people understood if I was oh, sorry, I can't come hang out today, I got to stream. But it is very tricky. You just have to justify it in your head and find your own balance. If you're not enjoying content, and the other thing which kind of sucks is if you don't feel it's working out, you probably should put more time into school at the end of the day. But if you've really got that drive in you and you can see that this is going well, that's when it gets a bit ooh, should I start allocating different time to things? Should I, take a little time off school to do this and see how it goes? But yeah. It's tricky. It's different for everyone as well.
They also had another question. Sorry, also with the Twitter questions, I agree. I just try not to build on it too much. Otherwise, I don't know. I like the Twitter question segment because it's they ask, you answer, and that's it, instead of me building on it. So apologies
worries.
Moving on. Your answers are amazing. I'll let you know.
Thank you.
There is one coming up that I will probably build on with my own answer, but we'll see. Also from yours.
Yeah, awesome.
Which I actually don't know about this, so I'm curious to learn. Do you regret the onion moment?
Oh my god.
I don't know what the onion moment is, but they know.
It's something that almost was forgotten by everyone. It is actually, this is old lore. I think this is maybe 2022. I know it's coming up on, it might be 3 years ago or just coming up on 3 years ago now. Back when I was a much smaller creator, I didn't really get bigger streamers interacting with my community ever, hands down ever. And one day while I was live, Bad Boy Halo and another really big streamer came into my chat, and I was kind of oh my god, I kind of saw it, my mind lit up. I was oh my god, this is so cool. I need to make a lasting impression right now. This is important. So what happened was, Ad was in my chat and he kept spamming the word onion. And because I was you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make an impression if it's the last thing I do. It got to the point, like, I was just running this bit and I was like, do you want me to eat an onion? So yes, there is footage of me biting into a raw onion on stream in 2022 when Bad was in my chat. But you know what? We're still buddies. So I do not regret the onion incident. As I said, it was almost buried. He raided me like last month. And told his chat before he rated me. It was like, yeah, like she has a thing with an onion. And I was like, oh, incredible. 3 years ago. And it's still being brought up to this day. But I do not regret the onion incident because I get to hang out with Bad now. And that's really cool.
It paid off. You cooked.
The onion was raw. But yeah, the onion was not cooked. Can confirm.
Great minds think alike. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That was top 10 podcast moments just then. This next one comes from Alyssy, I hope I pronounced that right. Alyssy, sorry, I'm so sorry if I butchered your name. They were very happy for you to come on the podcast, so I apologize for butchering their name. What are some tips for beginner streamers?
I give this tip to pretty much everyone. So there's two things. In terms of technicality, use YouTube tutorials for everything. They will get you through any niche random OBS problem. YouTube is there to help you. I still use YouTube tutorials when I don't know what I'm doing, like setting something up. That's like technical side. It's so easy if you use YouTube. On the actual streaming side itself, I would say, especially for someone who's just starting out, just talk as much as possible. And I know it can be tough when there's like barely anyone watching or zero people watching, but the chance of someone staying if they click on your stream, even if there's no one in chat, you are talking. Like, you strike up a conversation even to no one, it is so much more likely that they're going to stick around. So that's my piece of advice. Even if you feel a bit silly, even if you're like talking to literally no one, the chance that you'll be talking to someone eventually will like just go up.
I also want to add my own little piece of advice for this, if you even care to listen. Not you, I mean them. Like, if they care.
Oh.
I
don't care, by the way.
But you're being forced to listen. They can click off, you're forced to be in this call until we do the outro. So, but my advice is kind of just like appreciate everything. I think a lot of times we'll see like, and I know it sounds like such a standard thing, but believe it or not, people don't appreciate everything. Like, I remember once I was just lurking in this streamer's chat. They had like 10 viewers. And then they got a raid from someone with 2 viewers. So it's 2 viewers is essentially just a streamer and their 1 viewer for the most part, right? That's normally how that raid kind of works anyways. And they're like, oh, and they just ignored the raid. And then someone raided about half an hour later with 10 viewers and they thanked it and bigged them up. And I'm just like, those 2 viewers, right? If you welcome them enough and thank them enough, you possibly have a brand new streamer who you never know could potentially blow up, and their viewers, 2 new viewers, because you appreciated them. And obviously don't do it for that reason. It's also nice enough to do it. But I just, you know, like thank everything, like, you know, just completely ignoring a 2 of your raid and then giving big, like, if 2 people walked into like my house, preferably not, but if they did,
that would be people. Yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned.
But it's a lot of people randomly walking into my house. You know, like 10 is more, but 2 people is still a lot of people walking. It's a really bad comparison, but you get the idea.
No, I know what you mean. I appreciate
it, basically. I just feel like people don't appreciate everything enough. And like,
true, actually. I still do shout outs for like 1-2 person raids as well. And like, the other thing is, like, speaking of raids, that's another good tip that I like didn't even remember to say. Introduce yourself to raiders. If you get a raid of new people, don't just be like, yo, thanks for the raid. Welcome in. How was your stream? Be like, hey, oh, hi raiders, nice to meet you, like, what's good? My name's Maddie. Like, I pretty much have a spiel I read off, like, my name's Maddie, I'm Aussie, I'm 22, I play like this game, also sometimes this game and this game. Super nice to have you guys here, how's your day been? Just literally something as simple as that makes such a huge difference in terms of raids.
And I guess, like, on the other side, if you're raiding into someone, of course, like, it's nice to raid like familiarity in your friends, but a nice little way to kind of branch out a little bit and try and meet new communities is just go through like the recommended tab, literally open up Twitter, and there'll be like live channels on the side you don't follow. And also, if you click on a certain stream, it'll be like viewers also watch. Sometimes nice to raid people you don't even know, even if you're not planning on following them or watching their content. It just introduces you to a new streamer and introduces you to a new audience. So
yeah, for sure.
You know, I think that's a nice little thing. I like, sometimes I'll raid like normally people I know and follow, but a lot of the time I'll go out and just raid someone who sadly I don't probably plan on watching them always, but at the same time it just gives like my audience someone else to like meet instead of raiding the same people over and over again. So
Mm.
There you go. At least that's my advice. You don't have to follow it. Like, a lot of people aren't too comfortable with rating random people because you don't know who they are and if they're toxic or if you're taking them into a toxic environment. But for the most part, you can kind of tell, at least when it's Minecraft content.
Yeah, for sure.
With that being said then, Maddie, that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside MC.
No, that's all good. I had a lovely time.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed. I really enjoyed as well. So, and my throat's starting to give way, so we're ending at a perfect time, which is great.
Oh, no, I'm actually starting to get, like, really sleepy. I've been trying hard not to yawn. Oh, look, there you go.
Apologies for boring you. God, oh man.
No, but it's been really fun. My first ever time on a podcast, so that was really cool.
Well, before you fall asleep, I have one more thing. And before I intro, I always had to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. So for anyone who didn't know who you were before this podcast and has really enjoyed listening, where can they find you on anything? Your call.
So if you want more of like this vibe, this is like kind of the stuff I do on my Twitch. As I said earlier, I'm just like a super like chat reader streamer. So pretty much all of my streams feel something like this, where I just sit and I talk about whatever. Pretty much almost every stream is a podcast because chat asks me a question and then I go on like a 10-minute tangent. But yeah, if you're someone who's more into like Stardew Valley and stuff as well, definitely like my YouTube is something I'm really trying hard to work on, and also like Instagram and TikTok. Got a whole lot of short form going on there. I do like kind of mildly upsetting Stardew Valley facts over there, so that's fun. But yeah, that's pretty much me, and it's Milkberry with two L's on everything except Twitter, where it's three L's. But yeah.
And if this podcast gets 100,000 likes, Maddie will bite into 3 onions in a row.
Yeah, sure. You know what? Yeah, real. I will.
In 7 years, I'll be back in contact when this finally gets 1,000 likes and you have to bite into 3 onions in a row.
Hey, you said 100,000, not 1,000, okay?
Oh, okay, 100,000 then, sure. I meant 1,000, but fine. 100,000 likes.
Okay. I'll do 1 for 1,000.
Okay. You hear that? Woo. And also if I don't know, I can't think of anything else. Just go check out Maddie. They're an amazing content creator. Please go follow them everywhere. Not like
thank you
follow
so
them
much
on social media. Sorry, I want to specify just in case. It's good to specify. Anyways,
yeah.
That being said, this has been Inside MC. Thank you so much again for joining me. You've been an amazing guest, and I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you for having me.
In Rotterdam. No worries. Thank
yeah,
you.
No, it's been so fun.
This has been Inside MC. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. Peaces.